I had a funny phone call on Friday. A fellow who at first didn't even bother to identify himself wanted to know what I thought about what's going on in Poland, the church imposing its views by way of law on all the people. Now, you know me as a preacher of more than a few words, but what most of you wouldn't know is even spontaneously on the phone, I can go on at some length. And it was probably about 35 minutes later when I had finally shared with him my vision, my sense of what gives life meaning and puts things in order and so on. This stranger said to me, "Oh, but that's so unreal. That's such a dream. Why, if tomorrow morning everybody on earth got up and started acting like Jesus and living this gospel you preach, the world would collapse, structures would fall down, it just wouldn't work, it's just not possible." But of course, first of all, I assured him he shouldn't lose any sleep worrying about that possibility coming true the next morning. I believe, as Chesterton did, that Christianity hasn't failed, it has not yet even been all that widely tried. So we have no fear, even if his dire perception should be true. Don't worry about it. Society won't collapse tomorrow or any tomorrow because everybody started acting like Jesus. That little exchange just somehow or other flowed into my reflections on today's liturgy. Because here we have in today's gospel a dreamer, Joseph. A just man, a good man, who could doubt it? The scripture affirms it. A righteous man, a godly man, a good, good person. Who, with all that righteousness and kindness and goodness, finds himself confronted by simple human facts that say to him he must act in thus a manner. And then, don't miss it, is assured, not by some lawyer, not by some famous scholar, not by somebody more experienced than Joseph in the ways of the world, Joseph is assured by an angel in a dream, he's assured that it's okay to let law and common sense and the obviously appropriate practical way to do things just fade and act in a manner that no one could possibly understand except a person who could believe in dreams, a trust in God, and defy all that's practical, everything that, without faith, seems to make sense. In the first reading, God, Yahweh, of unspeakable name, of incomprehensible power, of majesty and awe, God says to Ahaz, "You ask of me anything you want. Tell me your dream in faith, and I'll make it come true." And Ahaz speaks for you and for me and for every other trembling person of limited faith and considerable fear from then till now and here on. And Ahaz says, "I couldn't dare. I couldn't ask. I couldn't possibly ask what really would make all my dreams come true. I couldn't ask that you that you, Almighty, unapproachable, incomprehensible God, I wouldn't dare ask, come down here and get close to me. Come and be with me. Be my friend. Be my fellow. Walk with me. Cry with me. Laugh with me. Be with me. I would never, ever ask that. Oh, God, no. I couldn't ask that of you. And God says, well, you have little faith. You won't ask. I'm going to do it anyway. A virgin will conceive, and the one born of her faith and in her flesh will be God in your midst. God will cry with you and laugh with you and hurt with you and hope with you and feel frustration with you and share joy and celebration with you. God will be in you and under you and around you. God will be with you even though you just don't dare to ask. This is what God will do. We, unlike Ahaz, have the extraordinary privilege, the indescribable blessing of being a people who know that that impossible dream has in fact come true in Jesus, who is the Lord. God is flesh, and God is blood and bone. God is laughter and tears. God is hope and disappointment. God with us, Emmanuel. But until this very moment, many of us, most of us, let's be honest, I suspect, all of us are still trying to believe that and act as though it's real for us. And for those of you whose faith has surpassed mine, let me say, even if all of you have come to know that as your reality, I'm still working at it. Or I believe it now, sort of. It's real to me, very much, but it's not yet. It's not yet for me that all-consuming reality that transforms everything else, that pushes all nonsense, all emptiness, all distraction away, surrounds me, fills me, moves me, lifts me, so that I in turn may lift, surround, embrace, share with others this faith. But I am working at it. God is with me. God is with us. But I'm still trying to believe it. I'm still like Ahaz, not quite fully able to believe God would do this. Unlike Joseph, I do dream, but I'm still afraid my dream is more a dream than reality. If we look down the pages and the days of history, we find out that those who left the greatest mark, those whose presence made all the difference, were the dreamers who dared believe the dream not would, but had already come true. Remember the story of Joseph in Egypt, or before he went in exile to Egypt, his brothers were bothered by his dreaming. It scared them. They were, in a sense, like Ahaz, afraid of the implications. What if you ever asked God to come on down here and get up real close? What would that be like? How would you live with it? What would you do with it? And Joseph kept talking as though God speaks to people. God gets right into your life, right up close to you. God is part of everything that's happening to you. Joseph was beginning to share his dreams, and you know what his brothers said? They said, let's get rid of the dreamer. This guy scares us. He's dangerous. in our own time, we're privileged to have witnessed, and for many of us to have shared in the life of another dreamer, Dr. King. Flesh and blood like us, weak and sinful like us, but someone who said, I really believe the dream has come true. All I've got to do now is get other people to believe it, to share with me this conviction that the deepest of all dreams, the highest of all hopes, the deepest of all needs has been satisfied. God is not coming. God is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. That is the meaning of Christmas. And we will dream on. We will sometimes perhaps experience that dream as a nightmare. If we ever thought through its implications, if we ever began to believe that God is with us and that other people will not believe in their dreams or experience their dreams coming true until we make it seem real and touchable and huggable and close in our person relating to them. In all of that, we make the dream come true for other people. It's scary. It's kind of frightening. And so we'll continue to sometimes feel this dream is more like a nightmare. What would I do with this if it really were true? Yep, it happened again. I had this homily more or less ready. The paper came early. And I read in this morning's paper, as I hope some of you have or have heard on the news, do you know what they're talking about doing in Somalia now? In recent weeks, I've tried to share with you my hope, my excitement at the idea that our extraordinary armed forces are for the first time in history going to bring compassion, love, food, and nourishment to a beleaguered people. And do you know what they're announcing this morning? They can't quite deal with all those vicious technicals, all those greedy people who would snatch the food from the mouths of the hungry. You know what they're proposing to do? Bring so much food and put it everywhere so that stealing food no longer makes sense and it puts them out of business. Wow, what an idea! What an idea! What a powerful... Oh, please, God, it happens. What a powerful coming true of a dream that people said, no, not possible. It could never happen. How could an army, with all of its might, with all of its power to destroy, come to a hungry people under the plague of cruel and vicious people instead of killing the evildoers? Overwhelm them with an abundance of love, of nourishment, of food. I think this is one of the most exciting things that's ever happened in my life. However well it works isn't even all that important to me at the moment. The very idea that people who have in the past used power to destroy, the very idea that in a world where it's become the commonplace to block out what you perceive to be evil by being stronger, more forceful, greater in the power to put to death, that in such a world we're talking about military troops coming and pouring out an abundance of food as a weapon to overcome the enemy. Isn't it like a dream come true? And despite what my somewhat cynical and pessimistic inquirer said on the phone the other day, it makes me believe just a little bit more that if by God tomorrow everybody got up and started acting like Jesus, if tomorrow more and more people acted as though they really believe that God is with us and in us and around us and is our reality, that if that happened, the world wouldn't collapse. Rather, it would at last come to blossom. It would come to its fullness. Well, I won't live long enough to dream deeply enough that all that will happen in my time. I know it. But my dream is still alive. And I do believe that tomorrow, the reality of God with us will be a little more true, a little more touchable for even if only a few people. Because, like Joseph, I'm going to believe the dream. Not only that, I'm going to help to make it come true. I'm going to try again with new fervor, with new resolution. I'm going to try to make this world as much as I can know it and believe it. God is with us.